and they came up on this barricade, said that the bridge is out ahead. Well, they decided to drive around the barricade and go on, which they did. Got on down to where the river was, and indeed, the bridge, the road going to the lake, the bridge was out. So they turned around, and as they turned around, they came back to the barricade, and on the other side of the barricade was this big sign, said, "Bridge was out, wasn't it?" And then there was a big smile. So when you and I go back to the beginning of this series, and this is indeed the end of this particular aspect of Satan destroying bridges, I want you to remember that Paul wanted to go to see the Thessalonians, and he wanted to go see them face to face. But he said Satan hindered him. Now the word hinder is a war term that had reference to someone or something trying to destroy your ability to reach a certain destination or a goal or whatever that might be within your particular life. Anything and everything that might hinder you, the hindering is that you had a goal, you had a direction, you wanted to reach a destination, but it kept you from reaching it. They wanted to go fishing, but the bridge was out. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to have a personal walk with the Father. We want to know Him, indeed, as Father, Abba, God, Daddy, if you will. But Satan will do everything in his power to keep that from happening. He does not want you, nor me, or anyone to have a real personal relationship with the Creator God. I mean, they built a whole movie around the bridge called the River Kwai. No aspect was destroying that bridge, wasn't it? So again, Satan is the master bridge destroyer. He is a master at it. He will destroy whatever he can to keep man from having a fellowship with God, a relationship with God, a promise of eternal life with God. And today, as I look at our world today, I finally think the conclusion of what is happening today is what I see Satan is leading and man is following his direction, that we are calling good evil and evil good. That's not new, people. But it certainly is becoming a predominant concept that is controlling this country and a lot of the world today. Whenever anything you look at is good, man has a tendency to look at it as being evil. And that which is evil, man today is calling good. All right, nothing wrong with it. And Satan, I believe, is the father of that lie. He produces that concept. Remember when Satan approached Eve in the garden? Tempted her to take of that fruit? What did he say in Genesis 3:5? "For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, as man multiplied on the face of the earth, you know, at the beginning of Genesis, man, Bible says that even every thought, even the imagination of man's heart was evil in the sight of God. And it repented God that he had created man. And yet, as God destroyed the world and all living creatures, as a result of the flood, that flood subsided and the ark rested on Mount Ararat. And Noah and his family came out, built an altar, and they burnt an burnt offering up to God. And the Bible says in Genesis 8:21 that God said to himself, as he received the soothing aroma of this sacrifice that Noah was making, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done." Bible says, Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, etc. Jeremiah said, "Who can understand the human heart? From out of it comes all the flows of the issues of life and wickedness and evil, etc., etc." The aspect, of course, is when you became a Christian, I hope you understood the necessity, as God prophesied in Ezekiel, "I will give them a new heart, and I will put my spirit in them." You see, when you became a child of God in baptism, you became a new creation of God in Christ. so that your heart could become in tune with the heart of God and you could start walking in the light, no longer in darkness. In fact, you were transferred by God out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, who is light. In God, there is no darkness. God is light, and there is no darkness within him. And the aspect of that, of course, is that is what you and I have experienced. And I give God the honor and the glory and the praise because I am not who I am by my creation. We are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus. He is at work in us, doing his will. And we need to praise him that he gave us a heart that is good, ability to live righteous and clothes us with the righteousness, and it sustains us every day through the power of his Spirit, because he said, I will put my Spirit in them. Amen? So as you and I today look at that context, I want to share you something free. Not that everything is free, but listen to these words. After that, in Genesis 8:22, this is God speaking that he would never again, you know, curse the earth, destroy every living creature, etc., etc. But he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I don't know what the climate change people are going to do with that verse, but as far as I can see it, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be uniform as far as God is concerned, because he's in control of the weather, people. In fact, right now, as we've gone through this hot spell, you know what the weather report is now? There's going to be a great chilling effect for days to come in August. In fact, some parts of our country are going to be 20 degrees below normal. Now, I'm not a prophet, nor do I know God, but I just got to believe that God must be up there to some degree kind of laughing at the foolishness of man. Say, I'll show you who's in control. But let's go on. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute and changes bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own eyes. Woe, 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 woe. To any country, any philosophy, any ideology that will take evil and make and call it good, or would take that which is good and call it evil. Now, do you understand what is happening in our country today? Do you listen to those? Where does Satan work? Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, etc. And you hear these socialistic-minded people who want to push us into a socialistic ideology, saying that all of we have done as a nation, all that we have never done anything good. We've been evil. Do you hear what they're saying? They're taking all of the compassion and the charity and the love and what this nation has done for better other countries and everything else, and they're disqualifying us, and they're saying that everything we've done has been evil. We've done nothing right and good. Get it? Huh? You get it? So anything that is good today, we're living in a time frame when those who are in the higher places under the power of the evil one who says, what we're going to do is we're going to attack anything that's good, we're going to call it evil. And we'll take anything that's evil, and we're going to say it's good. Brother, that's where we are today. That's our day today. That's where we live today. Proverbs 3, verse 7 states, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and then turn away from evil. Now listen, if Satan knows that if we can convince man to call good evil and evil good, then there will be no conviction that man needs to repent. That man needs to repent. And yet that's the message of the Bible, isn't it? Repent or perish, Jesus said. But if we are, indeed as we are, in this aspect of life today, we realize that God made it clear that there were seven things in Proverbs that he hated. You know, just a few was a haughty spirit, right? One who devises or plans wickedness, right? What was the other one? Feet that run on too rapidly to do what is evil. Feet that run rapidly to do evil, to do evil. And so that's just some of them. But the point is, it's clear. And the warning comes very clear. Proverbs 17:13, the warning is this: he who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You understand what that says? The more we, our politicians, our people, our socialistic evolutionists, our progressive evolutionists, take what is good and turn it into evil, it will not depart from this country. Evil will prevail. We need to be praying for this country. And we need to be praying earnestly and sincerely for those who are in leadership, that they'll have the wise counsel of the Word of God to lead them back to the model this country was established on: in God we trust. In God we trust. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. In verse 15, it says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to God. You think God really doesn't hate what's going on in our country today? You don't think that this country was blessed and brought into a reality because of the providence of Almighty God? That our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, was built on principles that were indeed biblical principles, men who feared God and wanted to establish. When people came to America, they came here for religious freedom. They bought the King James Version. They came here to be free to worship God out from under the tyranny of the Church of England. This country came. They came here to make America a Christian nation, according to my studies. That was their purpose for coming. And now, man, our country, is doing everything they can to take all of that which we have fundamentally been gifted and blessed by and trying to wipe it out of existence, to destroying everything that is the fundamental basis of our country. The aspect of that. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said these words: this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, how are you going to cover over all your evil and what you're going to do? You've got to do whatever you can. You got to do whatever you can to try in your mind to justify that what you're doing is right. Okay, they got to do that. Therefore, what one does in the body, according to Scripture, and I find that it's even in Christians, we have difficulty saying very clearly that a person is either evil or they're good. The Bible doesn't play anything in the middle. The Bible says when you and I stand before God at the judgment day, we will be judged by the deeds that we have done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That's what it says. It doesn't say it's going to be judged whether you were a little bit of good or a little bit of evil. It says whether or not they were evil or whether they're good. God sees every aspect either as being adverse to his word, to the truth, to his nature, to his holiness, or completely in tune with it. Okay? That's how God sees it. So today, when you and I think of what 2 Corinthians 5:10, when Paul wrote this book in chapter 5, verse 10, he declared, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. What it says? You know what? I shared this Sunday school class, but it certainly has been a part of my life ever since. My mom used to say, when I was a little guy and I was going out in junior high, high school, whatever, She used to say, Billy, I know I can't go with you everywhere you go, but I want you to know God sees everything you do and everything you say. You know what she did? She struck a fear of God in me. I'm serious. That I knew there was nothing that I could do or not do that God wasn't going to see it. Isn't that exactly what the Bible says? There's nothing hidden from his eyes. That every word that proceeds out of our mouth is going to be used against us at the judgment day. You know what it says? The aspect is there's nothing hidden from God. He numbers the hairs on your head. He knows every bird that falls. Every aspect of life is exposed before the eyes of a holy, just God. Okay? And that is true. So the crisis is this. Amos 5:13. Amos 5:13 said a long time ago, for it is an evil time. It is an evil time. Verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you. Hate evil and cleave and love good. We're supposed to hate evil, people. God hates it. We're supposed to hate it. We're supposed to love what is good, and we're supposed to cling to it and uphold that which is good. The progressive evolutionist has lost any else view of that today. It doesn't matter. Then there is no truth. There is no element of truth. There's no absolutes anymore in the mindset of many of our secular colleges today. They are pushing in our young people's secular minds, plastic as they may be, a godless theology. Okay? They are. There are no ifs and ands about it. And they're raising an animate of within the hearts of our young people that our country is not all that it should be, that it has not been good, it's been evil. And so we got young people who are burning our flags and hating this country because that's what they've been propagated to and taught. I mean, how does a young person in their plastic mind who has this doctorate, a professor standing up there teaching them, how do they argue with what he's saying? They don't. They receive it, as you will, and it molds their minds. So what do? They go out and commit evil, don't they? Huh? Smash up other people's properties, burn anybody that stands for what's good, that puts on an aspect that they're conservative, they're good. What's happening to those people today? They're being attacked, aren't they? Huh? Aren't they? Why do you think Christianity, from its very beginning to all of it, ultimate end, has been persecuted? Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you also. That being, if we let our light so shine, if we indeed are the light of the world and we're demonstrated by our life and our example a good, God-fearing lifestyle that exposes those who are not living a God-fearing lifestyle, you know, then yes, they will not like your light, and they will try their best to put it out, to expel it, every way possible. So today, okay, what's right? Does it make you feel good? You see the word? Do you feel good about it? See, Rogerian philosophy is everything based on feeling. How does it make you feel? If it makes you feel okay, make you feel good, then it's right for you. If it doesn't make you feel good, then it's wrong for you, and everything is just simply based on how you feel. That's it. Completely based on that aspect. But, and it comes down to the 90s and following up to our day, you know what it is? If it works. If it works, then it's right. I believe that's generated itself in our political realm of the whatever they call it, the deep state, the whatever, the swamp, whatever. They could justify themselves because they believed that what they were doing was going to work. Therefore, because it was going to work and do what they thought it was going to do, they believed that what they were doing was right. Only problem was, it backfired, didn't it? Now they're angry. Yeah? But you know what? I can tell you this. I believe God's a just God, and I believe they will answer for what they've done. I really do. Not just in this life, but in the judgment day to come if they don't repent. So in the 1990s, if it works, do it. Today, everything is relative. There's no absolutes, moral norms, and standards. Right and wrong is determined on how someone and how things simply turn out. And the end always justifies the means. So when I look at what is happening today, man has all kinds of names for what we call sin. They have it. It's no longer adultery and it's affair. They're just having an affair. Or it's an accident. It's a blunder. It's a defect. It's a disease. It's an infirmity. It's a necessity. It's a liberty. It's a trifle. It's a weakness. No one wants to call it for what it is. God says it's sin. God says it's sin, and we need to repent of sin, or else we will stand under the judgment of God. There's no doubt about it. There is, in their minds, no black and white, but according to God's word, there is a black and there is a white. There is a right and there is a wrong. There is a holiness and there is an unholiness. There is in every aspect. So certainly no, Satan knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He has been a master at everything he does down through the ages and hindering people from having that beautiful, powerful relationship with a loving, holy, forgiving, gracious, merciful God who wants to save us to the uttermost. And that is his desire. And so man today is just simply getting more and more lost in his darkness. More and more lost. More and more enslaved in his behavior. Because to whomever you yield yourself to that one, you become a slave, Romans chapter 6. And so the more they indeed intend and live this life of an unconverted, unrepentant lifestyle, the more they will be entangled in their own slavery of the flesh, their own desires, etc. How, therefore, could not man then do whatever he can do to call evil good and call good evil? He's got to. But woe unto those who do. Amen? Woe unto those who do. Romans 12:9 said, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Okay? Abhor it. May we have it. And then he says, the aspects of that is that you and I do not do what? We do not pay back evil for evil. Right? In fact, Jesus said, blessed are they that persecute you for righteousness' sake. Didn't he say that? For if such is the kingdom of heaven. If somebody smites you on the right, you turn to them on the left, right? If somebody asks you to go a mile, you go 2 miles. The aspect of what we live is that we are going to prove, we need to substantiate to the world, to those in darkness, that we are children of the light. We're children of God. By this, Jesus said, you will prove that you are children of God. Don't you want to prove you're a child of God? Substantiate your identity in the world that you live in today, that you're no longer in darkness, you are in the light. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all of our sins, praise God. Praise God. Therefore, it says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Respect what is right. Impossible live and depends on you at peace with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called what? Children of God, okay? Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the what? Wrath of God. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink. So in doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, substantiate judgment. Do not overcome, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing what? By doing good. So it's not like there isn't anything we can do. Is it? Huh? I know that Satan is a master of what he does, and I know he disguises himself and as an angel of light, and his servants are disguised. I know that's what Satan does, and he's a master at it. I know that he has exposed man and had man elevate himself to a role of being his own God, humanism, you name whatever you want to name it, putting himself on a pedestal and worshiping himself. I know he divides and continues to divide in every area of our individual life. He's divided everything. He just continues. He divides you and me individually, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Only God can put us together correctly. That's why Paul said to Thessalonians chapter 5, I pray that God will make you whole, perfect, complete, soul, mind, body. Only God can make us what we need to be. Understand that? You don't have it in yourself. It is not within man to choose that. God has to. You need to put our lives, we need to put our lives totally, completely, humbly in the hands of Almighty God and let him do the work and master art of making us to his people, the work and work and what he's able to do in our individual life. Don't let Satan destroy you. Keep your mind focused on Jesus Christ, on righteousness, on what is good, and walk in that. Walk in light. Don't walk in darkness. He would attack our faith. Naturally, he will. He'll try to get you to doubt God and question God and all the other aspects of God because he knows the only protection you and I have against his flaming arrow is the shield of faith. He knows that. He knows it. He has no doubt about it. So what's he going to do? He's going to attack your faith. He's going to do everything he can. And where that faith comes from is hearing from the Word of God. What's that faith based on? It's the promises that God makes in his Word. And anytime you don't take those promises and make them relative to your life, you might just as well understand. You and I are to walk by faith, not by sight. You know what it says? Yeah, it does. He is going to do whatever he can to make sin look so good, it's like eating another meal. That's all. Going to make it appealing. Isn't that what he did to Eve? You know what the Bible says? Where sin comes from? It says when you're tempted, right? James says, when you're tempted, then comes enticement. Looks really good. I want a bite. I want it. I want it. I want. And then comes lust. You can't withhold any longer. You're drawn to act upon what is enticing you. And lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. Okay? So what are we going to do, people? We have a choice to make, don't we? As God's people today. The early church did. The Bible instructs me through Paul and Timothy and all these books that I'm to pray for those who are in leadership. Amen? We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize that we are in dire straits today and we need to be holding up our country, our leaders in prayer and praying for them. Why? It says so you can live a peaceful life. They might live a peaceful life. So the aspect is there, okay? But I also know this. Whether it be my neighbors, the people I work for, the ones I work at, and I went into Myers, wherever I go, Jesus says to me, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Who is there of us that cannot be the light of the world? That as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, right? And especially unto the household of faith. Don't become, if you will, Amish. Don't isolate yourself. Become involved with people's lives. Touch their lives. Let the love of God constrain you, hold you together. But let's touch people's lives and show them the love of God through the things that we do and making their lives better. Because we got that ability. We have that power. God is at work in us to do that, isn't he? He called us to be a people who are zealous for good works. Zealous for it. But let's do it. Amen? We don't have a small bay. We can touch the world that we live in. We may not be able to change everything, but hopefully to God we can change somebody's life. Amen? So, I'm not trying to be a pessimist. Not at all. I'm just facing reality. Amen? And I know that man's hearts are evil, and the farther a man's heart gets away from God, then we know what happens, according to Romans 1, right? And what does it say there as it ends the chapter? It says, not only do those people know that what they are doing are worthy of damnation, but they go ahead and practice and do them and give hearty approval to those who do it right. Okay? So here we are. You know, I thank God for you. That's why it's important for you to be here with God's people on the Lord's Day. That's important why we have times together out to Dave's or wherever it might be, that we are fellowshipping with people who are of the light, encouraging one another. Why do we encourage one another? Because the days that we're living in are evil. Okay? And we need one another, don't we? We need to support one another. So God bless us, help us, strengthen us. Let's live that life that will exemplify the God who is good. Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. So the Lord be with you. And if you're here this morning and you need to have God's people praying for you, you're fighting a fight in a battle, then you need to allow us to know that and share that with you and help you and encourage you in whatever areas that might be. Okay? So let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation. And that invitation is to let God cleanse us, make us, mold us, shape us into the people He wants us to be. Okay? That's okay. I'm sorry, I could have told you the page.